I need a couple seconds to get the recording going.
No end.
Okay, you can start.
Okay, good morning. I would like to call to order the regular monthly Board of Respiratory Care Examiners Board meeting on March 18th at 9:05 a.m. We are going to do a roll call introduction done by Jack, if you would, please, so that we're not talking all over each other as we get started.
Okay, roll call. Chairman Kagan.
Present.
Vice Chairman Crawford.
Present.
Dr. Easley.
Present.
Board Member Gonzalez.
Present.
Board Member Rainier. Rutger Down is absent for now, and Board Member Beller. Absent for now. We do have four members, and we have a quorum. We can start the meeting.
Okay. For those of you who could see me, if you see me looking up over to the other side, I'm not distracted. I have my board materials up on the other screen over here. And so it looks like we will be starting with approval of minutes from the March 3rd meeting that we had. I'm trying to get my mouse to move here. Jack, it does not appear we have a consent agenda.
That is correct.
Okay. So we're looking at approval of the minutes from the March 3rd meeting we had.
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. I move for approval.
Do we have a second to that? I'll second that. So we have a motion and a second for approval of the minutes. All in favor? Can we do an all in favor vote, Jeff?
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay? Okay, that motion passes. We are continuing on the agenda, and we are looking at the date and time of the next board meeting. Jeff, do you want me to move that to the end of this meeting?
Either
no? Okay, let's talk about it now.
Thank you.
April 18, is that it?
Yes.
I don't have it in front of me. And I'm going to throw this question out to the board members. How do the board members feel about coming to an in-person meeting?
Madam Chair, let me interrupt you quick.
Okay.
It's April 15th.
Okay.
Third Thursday, so I don't think we want to get together on a weekend. My apologies.
I wouldn't mind. April 15th, it sounds like it is. We had talked about maybe doing an in-person meeting, but I'm interested in the feedback from the board members on that. Not everybody at once, please.
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. April 15th, I'm fine meeting in person. My issue is that I may be absent April 15th due to other appointments, excuse me.
Okay.
I'm also fine with meeting in person.
Okay. Board Member Gonzalez?
I don't have a problem with meeting in person, but I may have another appointment that day that I may not be able to switch. I'll let you know, though.
Okay. So it sounds like if we were to meet in person, nobody has the issue with that. Okay. All right. So we will go on to initial review, consideration, and action on investigations of possible unprofessional conduct.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I apologize. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. If you would allow me, just indulge me for 4 or 5 minutes. I was just going to run down your initial review options. It's been a while since we've been at this stage.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Madam Chair, members of the board, these cases are here today for initial review, and you know, I know you're very familiar with the initial review. Jack will present the case. You'll have an opportunity to talk to the licensee and ask them any questions if they're available. And if you find afterwards that you know there isn't sufficient information to move forward to a disciplinary action, And then at this stage, you can dismiss, you can issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education, or you can issue a letter of concern, or you can offer a consent agreement for disciplinary action in lieu of the formal interview if you do find that there is grounds to take disciplinary action. And then again, if you find that this case, any of these cases rise to, you know, a level where you need to protect the health, safety, and public health and safety, then you have the option to summarily suspend still at this time. And really, that is about it. So, you know, we'll go through them again. So it's just all your disciplinary options available, plus you can offer a consent agreement in lieu of a formal interview if you find that the allegations rise to the level of disciplinary action. And I just wanted to note that I know the last time we did this, you know, we had some cases such as these. The board kind of took them on a factual case-by-case basis. And so, you know, if you need any help remembering what we did last time, or what you did last time, just let me know, and I'd be happy to help out.
Okay, thank you. Board members, does anyone have any questions for the Assistant Attorney General?
Okay. No, thank you.
Jack, I can see that Mr. Vasquez is on this call. Can you tell me who else from the agenda is on this call?
The only two people that I have identified through the onboard meeting are RCP Vasquez and RCP, I hope I get this right, is it Javalera? Those two are here. I know that we probably have item number 7. RCP Kazi is represented by counsel, so I assume that they are present or will be present. Those are the ones that I know of. If you want to do a quick roll call and go down through A1 through 9 to see who's here.
Okay. All right. Sheena Brown, are you here? Delisa Ellis, are you here? Christina Avaro, are you here? Brooks Hill, are you here? Fabio Javalera, are you here? Was that a yes?
Yes, present.
Okay, thank you. Kinjal Joshi, are you here? Shannon Kays, are you here?
Good morning, this is Sarah Stark. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Kazi.
Oh, Kazi, okay. Okay, thank you. Gilbert Vasquez, you're here, yes?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. And Randall Yeager. Okay, we will go ahead and get started. Tell me your name.
Ricardo Espinosa.
Okay, yes, thank you.
My name wasn't called either.
Are you Shakora Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, so both of those are here. Is there anyone else on the call that has not been identified? Okay, excellent. Thank you, everybody. So we will start, and the board will call the case of Shannon Kazi, case 2021-RCE-0003.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is a case of initial allegation involving Shannon Kazi, holder of license number 43527. RCP Kazi was originally licensed by us back on May 21st, 2020. That license is set to expire on September 22nd of 2021. The last report employer that we have was outside of healthcare. We only have one case that was previously discussed, and that was actually an initial application review and his license. particular investigation. RCP Kazi reported a criminal arrest for DUI to the board within the appropriate time frame. That arrest occurred on December 4th of 2020. The arrest occurred on November 27th of 2020. He reported it to us on December 4th of 2020 within the 10-day requirement. At that time, he was cited for one count of DUI in the slightest degree. The criminal docket out of, I believe it's Lake Havasu City, showed that there were two additional charges added to the criminal case and included a DUI of 0.08 or more and extreme DUI of 0.15 to 0.19. The board was not notified of these subsequent charges. We found that by looking the case up within the last week. I did talk with the licensee at the time of the report, and he did disclose that he had consumed alcohol. At that time, he was very concerned about the licensing issues, and I tried to explain the process to him. RCP Kazi has not kept the board apprised of his current address of record. We have a lot of correspondence that went out to that address that was listed from his initial application, and pretty much all got returned. I also included, because of this particular allegation, this criminal allegation, I did include the information that we reviewed back in the middle of last year, which has a history of alcohol and rehabilitation, which he submitted to us with his application. Respondent did reply to the initial allegation within the appropriate time. He has obtained an attorney, and I believe she's available here on the call. I don't have anything further unless the board has any questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Stark, we will now give you the floor to let us know what we need to know about this case.
Okay, thank you, and good morning. My name is Sarah Stark, and I am here as counsel for Mr. Kazi. Because the criminal charges are currently pending, we have been advised by Mr. Kazi's criminal attorney not to speak substantively at this time about the facts of the incident. I did give notice to Mr. Confer yesterday that the trial in this matter has been continued to July 28th this year, and we are happy to continue to keep the board abreast of, you know, the procedural aspects of this case and let you know as soon as we have any additional information or a final disposition of the matter.
Okay, thank you.
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. I'm curious, I didn't hear a reasoning as to why the board couldn't be kept apprised of the mailing address of residents.
So Mr. Kazi indicated that when he called to support the allegation, he notified, I believe, Mr. Confer that he was having his mail forwarded from another address in California, and he was unsure how to officially change it with the board. So he understands that he should have changed his address, and, you know, we will take care of that as soon as possible.
Any other questions, board members? Any thoughts?
My personal opinion is ignorance isn't an excuse. I think that the stipulation is that you maintain your correct address of the board. That should occur. It's quite simple on the website when I look at it. So.
Agreed. So there's no. There's no disposition on this case. Jack, is this a first offense? Do we know that?
Madam Chair, members of the board, and Seamus can chime in here. I believe this current charge is being treated as a first in Arizona. And I don't know enough about the criminal process to tell you if that could or will change, but all the charges that I saw are listed as a first offense in Arizona.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I tend to agree with Jack. I didn't see anything in here that would indicate they were treating it any differently. And, I would just note that I know that it has been the board's policy in previous DUI cases to allow the DUI case to run its course before we take action. But, again, that's the board's option. I was just noting that.
Right, understood. And that's part of the reason I was asking if this was a first offense.
This is Vice Chairman Crawford, Board Chairman Kagan. If you look at page 83 of the 391, mm-hmm. I'm looking in the open book.
Yes.
There appears to be a list of convictions dating back to what appears to be in California.
Okay, yep.
So it may be the first in Arizona, but this, in my opinion, would appear to be a pattern of behavior.
Madam Chair, members of the board, do you mind if I make a quick recommendation or suggestion?
Of course.
So when this originally came in, I was concerned given this particular licensee's background. He has the previous charges and so forth were back in everywhere from 1994 to
2008.
Yeah, 2008, and I don't know that license. I mean, while we could use that as
mm-hmm.
evidence, it wasn't for respiratory care.
Right.
When he came in and chatted with us back in May, he had shown significant evidence that he had been rehabilitated. With my experience, and Dr. Easley, of course, can comment, is that when you go through this type of disease, you may have several instances where you don't comply with the rehab. And that is a concern to me. My suggestion to the board, given the evidence and what we've heard, is to offer the standard rehabilitation agreement as a final resolution to this allegation. And if that is not signed, we go to an informal interview in the future to discuss this particular allegation.
Okay. Thank you, Jack. I feel like for me that would at least put my mind at ease that this is a habitual thing. Board members, any thoughts?
Tracy, this is Joe. Is this a life agent license? Is it healthcare at all?
I don't know what a life agent is. Ms. Stark, are you able to shed any light on that one?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're referring. I'm not sure what you're looking at.
Madam Chair, members of the board, if I may, it was life insurer in California.
Okay.
And Ms. Stark, we're referring to the investigative report for the initial licensing. It was on page one. Apparently, he had an insurance agent license in California that had some disciplinary action on it in 2007-2008.
Okay, and I we requested a copy of the investigative report, and I don't know that we have received that.
And that license is not of a concern to me, but the driving with the blood alcohol in August of 07, driving under the influence in April, public intoxication in October. That's more of a concern to me than this life agent license.
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. I want to go back to what Executive Director Confer had recommended. My understanding is that this is going through the court system here in Arizona as an initial DUI. We don't know the outcomes of that yet. It sounds like that's going to be moved to a July hearing. I would be in favor of moving forward with a standard order of probation as Executive Confer recommended. My question would be, would this be in addition to whatever happens come July?
Madam Chair, Vice Chairman Crawford, this would be an independent action on the civil administrative licensing side of this. What happens when the criminal court really won't have any effect on what we can or what we would do with his license. The reason, and I would ask the board if they go in that direction to tell me whether it's non-disciplinary or disciplinary, given the background. My concern is that we may have a licensee who is having some issues, some personal issues, coping with that with alcohol, which is not illegal, and we don't have an allegation that it's carried over into his work as a respiratory therapist, but the duty to protect the public is wide. It's not just patients, it's everybody. So my concern is that we try to get him the help that he may need, and we do that through the standard rehab, which mm-hmm. is going to require random drug testing, counseling, and all that stuff he may get out of the court, but for all we know, that could be pending for another year or less or more. So that's why I suggest that, is because it's a quick resolution to make sure that we're protecting his patients. Hopefully I answered your question.
Yes, you did. Thank you. Again, this is Vice Chairman Crawford. I would like to make a motion that we offer RCPKs a standard order of probation, non-disciplinary, considering this is being trialed as the initial for the state of Arizona, and there appears to be no violations related to patient care.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second, Dr. Easley.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Okay. All in favor of issuing the order, the standard order of probation, say aye.
But, Madam Chair, can we do a roll
yes.
call,
please? Let's do a roll call vote. Jack, do you want to call them?
Sure.
Jack, I apologize. I have to jump in here. Because we're at the initial stage, we would have to offer this as a consent agreement.
Right.
Okay, so let me amend my motion then, that we offer a consent agreement for a standard order of probation, and if not non-disciplinary, and if not consented, then we'll move to an informal.
Perfect. Thank you.
Second.
Okay, so we have the motion and a second. Jack, if you would roll call vote us, that would be great.
Sure. Vice Chairman Crawford.
Aye.
Dr. Easley.
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez. Board Member Gonzalez.
Did we lose him?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you. And Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
So motion for the offer of a non-disciplinary standard rehabilitation order, which is a three-year probation with all the standard terms, passes.
Okay.
And would you like to put a date certain on that, just for Jack and I? If not accepted, within how many days?
If not accepted, within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Stark, is that reasonable, 30 days? You okay with that?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
That concludes this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stark. Thank you. Okay, we will continue, and the board will call the case of Fabio Habalera, stage 46 board members, and it's case 2021-RCE-0004.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is licensee number 012326. He has been licensed since April 12, 2017. That license is currently set to expire on May 22nd of 2022. Last reported employer that we have is Banner Del Webb, and I believe he is still employed there. No complaint history and no criminal history found when searched. RCP Cavalera worked as an RT while his license was expired. Case description, RCP Cavalera had a license expired on November 22nd. It had been extended for 6 months due to the COVID-19 state of emergency. So it wasn't necessarily his normal birthday renewal. He subsequently submitted a renewal application on December 3rd, 2020. And he at that time disclosed that he had worked after his license expired on approximately nine different occasions. And hopefully we can get a little clarification on that, because I had a hard time understanding the timesheet. RCP Havelera responded to the allegation in writing within the appropriate time frame, and he states that he did in fact work without a license between November 25th and December 2nd. He states that it's true my license expired. It was my duty to get the license renewed, but I failed to do so in a timely fashion. I knew my license was due towards the end of the year, but I was unsure of the date. I had not seen recent emails stating my license was almost due, and I thought that I would have time to renew it the first week of December. He didn't realize that it expired November 22nd until it was brought up to him by his manager. She asked him to produce proof of his license renewal, and then he realized it was no longer up to date. He did not intentionally or knowingly work with an expired license at that time. He was unaware that his license expired when he had continued to work. He goes on to explain in his response that it was during the time that Banner Del Webb was suffering greatly from the pandemic. We were right in the middle of it. Our hospital was over capacity, our staff was overworked, me included. I did not take the time to schedule myself some time off to address the renewal of my license. He does state that he threw himself in his work and ensured that patients continued to receive care despite how understaffed they were. I care about the welfare and care about patients, and I was only trying to keep them well taken care of. I understand that maintaining my license is my professional duty. As such, I understand that there may be consequences to my action, and he was willing to accept those. I don't have anything further. That was a quick summary of his response, and he is available today to address the allegation.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Havalera, you will have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know about the situation. The floor is yours.
Hello, this is RCP Havalera. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So, yes, I understand that I had continued to work with an expired license. At that point in time that I was working, I had been scheduled for those 8 days in a row after my license had expired, but it wasn't towards December 2nd is when my manager, Rochelle, had asked me to produce documents stating that my license was up to date still. And I was at work at that time, and when she had asked me that question, I tried to find those documents, and it was then I realized that I no longer had a current license. So she sent me home immediately at that time, and that's when I started working on getting my license renewed. When I was working that stretch for those 8 days on the dates of, it was November 25th to December 2nd, I was unaware at that time that my license was expired. And like I had stated in my letter, I thought that it was going to expire in the beginning of December, and so I had scheduled some time off in the first week of December after the 3rd. But I was incorrect in that assumption, and that was mainly my fault for not keeping up to date with my licensure. And as I stated, that is a professional duty that I should have kept an eye on, and I'm solely responsible for that. I know that my manager, Rochelle, had sent out emails and early on in the year about getting your credentials up to date, but due to the extension, the six-month extension, I had forgotten about those as well as the exact date of renewal. But as I stated in the email, I did not intentionally work with an expired license. I had no knowledge of that. However, I did not intend for any malicious harm for my patients. I did not intend to keep working with an expired license just out of malicious intent. I was just working because we were so understaffed and overworked, and I felt responsible for helping alleviate the workload on my fellow staff members. But as I also stated, I am aware that there will be consequences for my actions, so I am ready to hear those.
Thank you. And did we say that there were 8 unlicensed shifts?
It was, Madam Chair, members of the board, it might be 8. I wasn't sure if he was working overnight shifts, 12-hour shifts, or they were individual 8-hour shifts. So, go ahead.
So those ones, I work day shift, 12-hour shifts.
Okay.
I think 8 will be accurate.
Okay. Okay, board members?
This is Alan. I just have a clarifying question for Jack. Jack, if I'm understanding this correctly, his license expired November 22nd. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the date that he renewed was December 2nd?
My information indicates that he submitted the renewal application on December 3rd.
Okay, thank you. And then, how many times has RCP Javalero renewed a license with this board? Because this is not his first renewal, correct?
That's correct.
So obviously, the point that I'm getting at is you've been a licensee with the board now for more than 2 years. You've already renewed one. Unless you forgot your birthday, it's pretty hard to forget when your license is due. I do want to acknowledge and appreciate RCP Javalera during the COVID pandemic. It sounds like the facility was overwhelmed. And I appreciate the work that the respiratory therapy team is doing to treat our patients. But that does not alleviate the fact that you have responsibilities, which I heard him identify in his opening statement.
My understanding is that his birthday is not November 22nd, that this was a six-month expiration due to COVID. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Madam Chair, members of the board, he was, to answer two questions, if I may, he was initially licensed with us April 12th, 2017. So he's gone through, prior to this renewal, he went through two different renewals. He was set, his renewal date was originally May 22nd. However, that was extended to 11/22/2020 because of the six-month extension from the governor's order. So he would have renewed back around May 22nd of 2020, but it was extended to November 22nd, 6 months because of that emergency COVID extension. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so we're talking about 8 shifts.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And if I remember correctly, and Assistant Attorney General might have to help me with this one, we no longer can do civil penalties for shifts worked without a license?
We can if they're disciplinary, I thought.
That's the answer, yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, Dr. Easley or RCP Gonzalez, I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I mean, I agree that this wasn't anything malicious, and I do think that he probably just lost track of time because it was not during his normal renewal period. And as somebody else who works in the hospital through all of COVID, that was an incredibly busy time. So I can see how that would get away with it from him. So... those are kind of my thoughts.
Thanks.
Board Member Gonzalez?
I agree with Dr. Easley. I think that during that time, things could have gotten, you know, very confusing and such, but I also think that we should take some action, you know, in regards to what happened there, you know, not necessarily disciplinary, but, I mean, some action so that it's in his mind that he needs to pay better attention to that. So
right.
I would agree with whatever action the board wants to take to make sure that this is something that comes up in his mind when it's time for license renewal.
Okay. So does anyone have a motion?
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. I will make a motion for a non-disciplinary letter of concern, obviously the concern being administrative capabilities of ensuring you renew your license timely.
Okay, so we have a motion for a letter of concern. Do we have a second? I will second that. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Jack, if you would do a roll call vote, please.
Vice Chairman Crawford.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
RCP Gonzalez.
Aye.
And Dr. Easley.
Aye.
Okay, that motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you
for being here, Mr. Havalera.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay. The board will now call the case. Board members, it'll be on page 204, the case of Gilbert Vasquez, case 2021-RCE-0014.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Vasquez holds license number 9743 that was originally issued on December 16th, 2010, and is currently set to expire July 12th, 2022. Last reported employer that we have is Honor Health. No complaint history, no criminal record history found. RCP Vasquez worked as a respiratory therapist after his license expired. He held a license which expired on January 12th, 2021. This license had also been extended from its original expiration date due to the COVID-19 state of emergency. He subsequently submitted a renewal application on January 14th. In that renewal application and supporting documents, he disclosed that he had worked, self-disclosed that he worked on an expired license on three separate and mutually exclusive occasions. His affidavit was submitted to us on January 19th, 2021. In total, after reviewing the documentation, it appears that he may have practiced on five different shifts after the expiration of his license, but hopefully he can help clarify that today. RCP Vasquez was not formally asked for an additional response other than what he had submitted with his renewal application and his affidavit. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Vasquez, thank you for being here today. There you go. I'm going to say you're on mute. And you will also have the opportunity to tell us what you need us to know here.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me today.
I'm sorry that it had to be under these circumstances. I am very embarrassed to be in front of the board here. For me, I'm very not technically savvy. I had asked my wife to help me to upload my CEUs, which apparently she couldn't do that on time for me, so that's why I was late. She did submit it in, and apparently one of the CEUs that I had submitted was a duplicate, so we had to resubmit it, and I believe it was the 14th, or I don't remember the day exactly. But anyways, yes, I did unfortunately work that weekend with expired license, and I don't have any excuses. I know that the law is the law, and I don't have any excuses. I mean, I'm here to see what is my discipline.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Board members. Anybody?
There I am talking away on mute.
My apologies.
similar to the last case that was just discussed, I want to thank RCP Vasquez for his service in helping treat our COVID pandemic patients. However, I also acknowledge that there was a failure to comply with the rules of the board for renewing of that license, and I certainly hope that that is not something that will ever repeat itself again. I would be in favor, or I'll make a motion for a non-disciplinary letter of concern, the concern being failure to comply with licensure renewal.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Jack, a roll call, please.
Vice Chairman Crawford.
Aye.
Dr. Heasley.
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez.
Aye.
And Chairman Kagan.
Aye. That motion passes. Okay, thank you for being here, Mr. Vasquez. Mr. Vasquez and Mr. Javalero, you're welcome to stay, but you don't have to stay once your case is done.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you both.
Okay, I'm going to keep going to the people that are here, and then we can circle back. So I'm going to move down to agenda item B, discussion and action on application interview for licensure. Board members, we are on page 228, and we are calling the case of Ricardo Espinoza, case 2021-RCE-0011.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case involves RCP Espinoza. Is he on the line? Is he here?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Thank you. Applicant Espinoza applied for license to practice professional respiratory care. His previous license was revoked by the board on September 27th, 2013. The reason this application is before the board is staff was not comfortable issuing him an emergency temporary or permanent license due to the past disciplinary action. RCP Espinoza was a holder of license number 7440, which was effective on June 26th of 2007 and was current through December 31st of 2012. On September 18th of 2012, the board received a complaint regarding non-professional conduct. After the investigation and review, the board subsequently revoked that license on September 27th of 2013. We received a new application for a new license from him on April 20th of 2020. That application is currently pending. The reason for the board review is that, again, staff was not comfortable just issuing a permanent license given the prior revocation. Let's see here. I don't have anything further. Applicant Espinoza has submitted a response. I believe I added some additional information to the board materials yesterday or last night, and he is here to also give his summary of what happened, where he is, what he's done since the time that he was last licensed. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Espinoza, we're going to go ahead and give you the floor, and if you could let us know kind of what happened back then that and where you are now and why you're seeking licensure again.
Okay. Back in 2012, I was working at Casa Grande Regional Medical Center and just fell in love with the place. It was my hometown. I grew up here. I moved to Tucson in 96, stayed there till about 2011. But when I came to Casa Grande, I started working there in 2010. And I was happy to be at home, happy to be in my hometown, the hospital that my mother worked at. And a lot of people knew me there, and I just fell in love with the place. My love for the ER and the adrenaline that came with it was that was what I loved. I loved being in the ER, and that's what they gave me a lot of the times that I worked. And sometimes people would give me their ER assignment. So when I came into work one time, I had a ICU patient, just one patient up in the ICU, and the rest I had the ER. I went up to that guy, I checked him out on his BiPAP, and the way he looked, I mean, he just looked uncomfortable, and he didn't still, but the BiPAP was just blowing like crazy, and as I was talking to him and joking around with him and stuff, you know, I don't know why I changed the BiPAP to give him some relief or something. I don't know. But as I was changing and talking to him and stuff and we're joking around and things, I got called down to the ER. And that's pretty much where I stayed for the rest of the night. And completely forgot about my patient in the ICU.
Okay,
and
so that sparked the complaint history back then?
That was the problem, yeah.
So what's been going on since then, and why are you seeking licensure again?
I've been trying to get back into it, but, you know, life happens. So throughout the years, ever since 2012, I started trying to get back in 2015. Then I had my son, and he's got asthma, and then so life just got in the way. I collected my things. I did my CEUs throughout time, and just kind of like halfway doing it. Just, you know, I wasn't really enthused about it, I guess because of the disciplinary. I was pretty much really scared. You know, but when my friends, I kept on seeing my friends and the people that I worked with and how they were struggling this year, you know, they were tired, worn out. And then when I got a letter stating that they were going to do like a pandemic relief thing to where they sent an email out to all the old RTs and things like that. And that really put a fire under me to where I needed to get back to work. I miss doing it. I love doing it. And then to be honest, I've never been the same without it. I've been working in the steel industry, and there's no joy in that like there was with RT. And that's what's pushing me to get my license back.
Okay. Board members, questions for Mr. Espinoza?
I have a couple questions. My first question is going to be for Executive Director Confer. Based on the governor's emergency order, and I don't know if I'm using the right terminology, so please bear with me, regarding the executive order that was given by the governor, the executive order has expired, correct, at this time?
No, it's still in effect.
And that executive order states that CRTs are eligible for temporary licensure, correct?
Yes, that's the policy that we established based upon that executive order. that we can issue emergency temporary licenses to those that qualify.
I'm sorry, Alan, I didn't interrupt you. My question also for Jack is, how long does that temporary license, when is the expiration of that license?
A temporary?
Yes.
It's for 6 months.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Board Member Crawford, in my view, the ability to issue that emergency temporary is not 100%. The board still has to make sure that they are protecting the public before they issue a license. So it's not just a broad waiver. You get a emergency temporary every time. Mm-hmm. So that's the purpose of this review. And I'm not sure if I answered your question, Board Member Crawford.
You did.
Okay.
Has at this time RCP Espinoza has or has not completed his RRT exam?
RCP Espinoza, can you respond to that, please?
Yes, I passed the CRT, but it was a low score. I'm still trying to get my RRT. I'm still trying to get that 93 on the NVRC. But I do got my CRT, but it's a low score CRT.
Thank you.
So, RCP Espinoza, you've gone back, since you were initially licensed, you've gone back to NVRC and retested in hopes of getting your RRT credential. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm still in the process. I mean, like I said, I've been out for a long time, and I had to restudy and redo all this. So it took me a while to get my CRT. It took a few times to test. And when I tested and passed my CRT, that was the final one that I could take for another 3 months. So I have to wait till June 20th before I can retest to get a higher score on my TMC.
On the TMC. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. My personal opinion is that we're currently not seeing the surge volume or the viral reproductivity rate as high as it was during our July and December surges. I don't personally like the idea of offering licensure to non-RRT candidates. I understand the reasoning of the executive order, and I understand the reasoning of the board's decision to do so during the pandemic surge. My recommendation, and I don't know if I can even make a recommendation, but my thought process would be I would be more inclined to review this application after this candidate has completed their RRT credentialing.
Okay. My question is for Jack or Seamus. Are there certain criteria that have to be met in order to deny a temporary license?
Madam Chair, members of the board, Seamus, I'm going to jump in here real quick. I would recommend to the board that we not, after this review, if the board decides that this application is not ready for an emergency temporary, my recommendation would be that we do not make a motion to deny the emergency temporary. We simply table the application, allow RCP Espinoza to continue his work towards that RRT credential, and then if necessary, we will bring back the application for permanent initial licensing to the board to review at that time, given his past disciplinary action. That would be my recommendation.
Because then it won't show that there's a denial of licensure.
Correct, and we're not taking any, disciplinary action against him.
Okay. And it can stay tabled for at least 3 months?
Yeah, it would be tabled pursuant to the rule, which is a 210-day timeout for the application. I don't know what that is. records off the top of my head, but that's the way we treat all applications for
it's over 6 months. Okay. Okay.
I would certainly be in favor of that.
Okay. So do we have a motion?
So is the motion that we need to table the application?
Yeah.
So I just make a motion to table this application until requirements have been met.
Okay. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Okay, Jack, if you could do a roll call vote, please.
Dr. E, please.
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Crawford?
Aye.
And Chairman Kagan?
Aye. And that, yes, that motion passes.
Yeah, RCP Espinoza, the board simply tabled your application in hopes that you get the RRT credential and we may review your application in the future. We appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Okay, we will continue in section B, and we will call the case of Shakora Jackson, case 2021-RCE-0012.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Jack Confer. Just a heads up, we only have four people, which is the minimum number of people that we have for a quorum. We may have a conflict with one of our board members that may have to recuse himself. So I'm just letting the board know that. And Vice Chairman Crawford, I don't know if you have any discussion or if you have any questions for our Assistant Attorney General about the recusal.
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. I would wish to recuse myself simply because I have a relationship with a member of this party.
Okay, so since we've lost the quorum for the case, we will not be hearing the case. Is that correct?
That is correct. We'll have to table it.
Okay.
RCP Jackson, did you understand that?
Yes, I did.
My apologies to you. We didn't have all of our board members here today, and we'll have to table this to our next meeting. And again, my apologies for that lack of quorum. Thank you for appearing today.
That's okay.
Thank you for being here, Jackson.
No problem.
All right, so we are going to scoot back up to the top of the agenda, back up to A, initial review, consideration and action on investigations of possible unprofessional conduct. The board will call the case of Sheena Brown, which for everyone is page 4. And Jack, take it away. Oh, I'm sorry, case 2021-RCE-0007.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Brown worked as a RT while her license expired. It appears that she worked on three separate occasions. RCP Brown has responded to this initial allegation. She did self-disclose that she worked three shifts and expired license. She states that I was under the impression that I had extra time to collect my CEUs and renew my license. My license renewal date was September 17th of 2020. I had read a work email in the previous month that stated that the Board of Respiratory Care was extending renewal due to COVID-19. My mistake was that I did not go to the website to check for dates and details myself. I visited the website on October 6th to upload CEUs and renew. I then realized that I had misunderstood. The extension had expired on September 1st of 2020. I immediately called the board and emailed them the affidavit that same day. She responded to the allegation letter. She does state that she takes full responsibility for the mistake. She deeply regrets it. And in her experience of 17 years as an RT, this is the first time anything like this has happened. I do not have anything further if the board has questions.
Okay, thank you. Board members? Anyone?
No, it was a total of three shifts. She reported it in a timely fashion. She's been a therapist for what, 17 years? And this is the first incident she has. So think something in the arena of a non-disciplinary letter of concern would be appropriate.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Why, yes, it is.
And this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Board members, what would the what would that be based on, the letter of concern?
Working the shifts without a license.
That's a board of concern that you didn't renew your license in a timely fashion.
So if you don't mind, I will just copy Vice Chair Crawford and just say failure to comply with renewal requirements.
Oh, that's fine.
And I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Jeff, roll call.
RCP Gonzalez.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Crawford.
Aye.
Dr. Easley.
Aye.
Thank you. And Chairman Kagan.
Aye. Okay, that motion passes. We will go on to the case of Delissa Ellis, case 2021-RCE-0008, page 21, board members.
Madam Chair, members of the board, there are two cases involved with this, both alleging the same thing. RCP Ellis was originally licensed with us on July 14, 2020. That license is currently set to expire July 22nd, 2021. Last reported employer that we have is Centara Norfolk General Hospital, which is out of state. We don't have a complaint history, and I did not find any criminal history when searched. It is alleged that RCP Ellis abandoned patients on two separate occasions. We received two different complaints, one from Dignity Health from July of 2020 and the other one from January 4th of 2021 from Banner. On both occasions, the allegation is that she no-called, no-showed, and that turned into patient abandonment somehow. The RCP Ellis did respond to this complaint. She states, generally, it is her response on page 24. She goes through several things about her current health and the care that's happening with that. Specifically, she does detail what happened around January 22nd. And if you want to read that response, again, it's on page 24. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions for staff.
So my initial thought is no call, no show, and patient abandonment are two different things. Patient abandonment to me is if you show up for your shift and you take ownership of your assignment and then you leave or go home or don't take care of those patients. That's patient abandonment. No call, no show is different. I'm not saying it's still unprofessional, but I think they're two different things, personally.
Vice Chairman Crawford, I concur with what you just stated. I also want to make sure, have we had conversations with RCP Ellis? I want to make sure that she's doing okay. I want to make sure that she's got the support she needs personally.
Madam Chair, Vice Chairman Crawford, I have not chatted with her by telephone. When the second report came in January, I think it raised staff's concern about this needs to get moved forward a little quicker. In her response, she states things that were unknown to us and were not necessarily disclosed to the board on her initial application for licensure. I don't know whether it had to be because I don't have enough information. I think at a minimum, the board should have a chat with her, maybe in an informal interview to discuss these allegations. but maybe you can also dive into the concern that is raised in her response on page 24. Did I answer your question, or did I right around it?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, I am concerned about her well-being. She lists a lot of, kind of tragic events that happened, on top of all of us kind of dealing with the pandemic. So I would be interested in checking in with her. Also, I agree with what you've all said, and that, abandoning patients versus no call, no show is a very different thing. She also had two separate no call, no show incidents, 6 months apart or so. So shows a little bit of a pattern, but I definitely think it's worth talking to her.
Okay, so do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we move this to an informal interview for, I'm sorry, go ahead, Shayma.
I apologize, Vice Chair Crawford. And is that based on the factual allegations and the potential violations of law stated in the investigatory report?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm more specific. I also am interested in RCP Ellis' well-being.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
And we have a second. Do we have any further discussion? Okay, Jeff? Roll call us.
Vice Chairman Crawford.
Aye.
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, great. Thank you. We will move on to the case of Christina Avaro, case 2021-RCE-0005, page 30, board members.
Madam Chair, this is licensee number 008623. RCP Avaro was originally licensed with us in November 20, 2008. License is currently set to expire May 29th of 2022. Last reported employer that we have is Allied Medcorp Services. That's in the Tucson area. She does have a complaint history under the same license but different last name from back in 2012-2013. I did not find anything other that was significant in the criminal record search for this particular matter. RCP Avaro reported a criminal citation arrest for her most recent renewal application when she submitted her biannual renewal on November 27th. She disclosed the criminal arrest that had occurred on or around April 19th, 2020. RCP Avaro did not report this arrest to the board within the required 10 days. On her renewal application, she goes into some detail about how she received that criminal citation. It was some sort of domestic dispute. She was arrested and she was ordered to attend life skills class, and that charge will be dismissed after the completion of that counseling and those domestic violence classes. We did not receive a response to this complaint. I don't have anything further unless the board has any questions.
Okay, thank you. What say ye, board members?
I would say that I'm concerned that she didn't report it. It should have been reported. However, it seems like this is a domestic dispute. I don't know that I believe her response. Her response is interesting. But regardless, it doesn't sound like it's something that elevates to the level of public safety or safety of patients, in my opinion. And it seems like it's something that should be handled by the court.
Okay.
I agree with Dr. Easley's statement. This, to me, is a prime example of perhaps people believing that if something is dismissed by the court, I don't necessarily have to report. And I think this is also an opportunity for education that you know, you are obligated to report any arrest, period. Do I feel that there's action that needs to be taken from the board? I am concerned that there's no notification to the board. So I would be in favor of a non-disciplinary letter of concern for failure to report the arrest. And I'll make that a motion.
Okay.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second for a letter of concern. Do we have any discussion? Okay, Jack, roll call, please.
Vice Chairman Crawford.
Aye.
Dr. Easley.
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez.
Aye.
And Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Motion passes for letter of concern.
Okay. Moving on to the case of Brooks Hill, page 39, case 2021-RCE-0013.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is RCP Hill holds case number, RCP Hill holds license number 1540. That license was originally issued in 1996. Set to expire June 9th, 2022. Last reported employer that I have is St. Joseph Hospital. This is in Tucson. No complaint history found and no criminal records found in the search. RCP still worked without a license. His license expired on, the license expired December 9th of 2020. This particular license had been extended for 6 months due to the COVID-19 state of emergency. And that this licensee submitted a renewal application on December 17th of 2020. RCP Hill disclosed that she had worked on two separate mutually exclusive occasions. We did not receive, we did not request or receive initial allegation in this matter, and the allegation is that this licensee worked on two occasions with an expired license. I don't have any further.
Okay, thank you. Board members, it appears we have a similar COVID fact pattern. Any thoughts?
I'm just a thought out loud. I'm curious how many of these we're going to have related to this extension for COVID because of that 6 month extension. The same fact pattern. It sounds like in reviewing this case, I am going to motion for a letter of concern, with the concern being that RCP needs to renew licensure at the time of renewal and needs to remain compliant.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion.
I want to be clear, that was for non-disciplinary. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Jack, a roll call vote, please.
Vice Chairman Crawford.
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez.
Aye.
Dr. Easley.
Aye.
And Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Motion passes for a non-disciplinary letter of concern.
Okay. Moving along, the board will call the case of Kinjal Joshi. Looks like it's page 53, and it's case 2021-RCE-0006.
RCP Joshi holds license number 33179. She's been licensed with us previously under license number 10752, which naturally expired in 2018. Current license is set to expire September 19, 2022. Last reported employer that we have is Hefty St. Luke's. No complaint history, no criminal history found when searched. RCP Joshi worked as an RT with a license, with an expired license. The evidence in this particular case shows that she had worked on one occasion, which was October 2nd, 2020, without holding a license. There's a little different fact pattern in this particular case because when she initially submitted her affidavit in conjunction with her renewal application, she did not disclose that she had worked with a license. She actually stated she did not work on license. After staff contacted her and got her timesheets, she amended that affidavit to state that she did work without a license. RCP Joshi did respond within the appropriate time frame. She states that, "I want to start off by apologizing for my unprofessional conduct. I am extremely sorry for my mistake," and that she did work as an RT. I have worked as an RT with honor and a sense of pride for the job that I do. I have always kept up with my CEUs and having my license stays current. I took a break to raise my child back in 2019. I did not realize my license was only valid for a year instead of 2 years. As soon as I realized in October, on October 7th, I did not work any shift. I got sick in October due to health problems, which delayed me from renewing my license. I did not work any shifts except the six-hour shift on October 6th, 2020. I just want to say that I'm extremely sorry for my mistake. I'm very proud of the job that I do, and she wants to continue to provide health services to people that need it. This mistake will never happen again. I intend to attend the next meeting, February 18th. I apologize to apologize in person. I look forward to hearing back from you so I continue to work as a respiratory therapist. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Okay. Board members?
Seamus, I have a question for you. If I was considering a decree of censure, would I need to move this to an informal?
Give me just 1 second, and I will find your answer.
I think Seamus is going to tell you yes.
Because that's disciplinary?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Yes, it is. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
I have concerns about this case. This is a very different fact pattern, in my opinion, compared to the previous cases we've heard today. I would be in favor of moving this to an informal interview. And I'll make that a motion.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that. I agree. It's different. Very different fact pattern.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Jack, if you would do a roll call vote, please.
Vice Chairman Crawford.
Aye.
Dr. Easley.
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez.
Aye.
And Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Motion passes to refer this to an informal interview.
Okay. Moving along, we have the case of Randall Yeager, case 2019-RCE-0301, page 213, board members.
We, Madam Chair, members of the board, we did receive some correspondence by email yesterday evening that stated asking if he needed to attend, and he's apparently working a night shift in Alaska, so he probably won't be available. Is RCP Yeager on the call? Thank you. This is RCP Yeager, holds license number 9808. He was originally licensed with us on July 21st of 2011. That license is currently set to expire on September 11th, 2021. Last reported employer that we have is Arrearis Medical Group. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. There was a hit on his criminal history. However, the board was previously apprised of that because he disclosed it on his initial application for license. RCP Yeager was terminated from a travel assignment for failing a pre-employment drug test. The Arrearis Medical Group, which is a healthcare travel staffing agency, informed us that they had terminated him from a travel assignment for a positive hit for marijuana metabolite that had occurred on around October of 2019. As a result of that hit, he did not go to his assignment. RSB Yeager provided a handwritten response, which is attached, and also states that he had notified the Idaho Board of Medical Examiners, but he was unable to find a notification to them, and he did not report this to us. The handwritten response is 4 pages. I'm going to summarize it quickly. He was out with a female companion who offered him THC edibles and which in the form of gummies, and also ate a cookie. He believes that that's why he had the positive hit for marijuana on a pre-employment drug screen. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions from the board.
Okay, thank you.
Just to confirm, Jack, what I heard you say is that the drug screen results were positive for marijuana.
Correct.
Nothing else.
Correct.
Thank you.
He is currently, the only other thing, Madam Chair, members of the board, he is currently employed as an RT in Alaska. Alaska does not require licensure for respiratory therapists. He is licensed in several other states, and I think it's what we would consider a travel RT.
So when you go to Alaska, you don't have to have any kind of licensure?
That is correct.
Wow.
They require you to be credentialed but not licensed.
Interesting.
That's a scary thought.
Isn't it, though?
So Jack, if I may, he tested positive for a drug, and he didn't take the assignment. He no longer works for that outfit, and he is working in a state where they don't even need a license. So I have to ask, why are we even talking about this? Because nothing we do is going to really matter as far as his employment goes, because even if we were to vote to take away his license, it's not going to affect him in that state. And, I mean, can we criticize him there for what he's doing and make it active here?
So, Madam Chair, Board Member Gonzalez, my recommendation to the board in this particular matter is you might want to consider a letter of concern for failing to report a disciplinary action, which was termination of an assignment, because he is still licensed in Arizona. So if kind of the theme throughout today is that we want to document those technical violations and make sure they don't happen again, he is still licensed with us, and the board should determine whether or not it rises to either non-disciplinary or disciplinary action, even though it occurred at the end of 2019. Things have changed with this substance in Arizona. So even though it occurred in 2019, what would we do with it now if it happened because somebody was recreationally using marijuana? So you should probably also consider that. I don't know if that answers your question. I guess it's more of my opinion, but I don't want to influence your decision. And Seamus, jump in here if you have anything.
Absolutely. Board members, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant AG. You know, Jack brought up some good points, and I really can't advise you right now because the statutes are still being written and codified, but the fact that there are expungement provisions in the recreational marijuana laws that have been passed here in Arizona, it will change the way we have to look at
convictions or use of marijuana, seeing as how it is legal here now in the state of Arizona. So, it's just something to think about right now. It's still in the process, but that's about all I can give you on that.
I'd say a couple of things. One, he does mention in his handwritten letter about being in Tucson. So I do think that he, you know, like Jack said, he is licensed here and he has the potential to come back here and practice. Two, I recognize that marijuana is, you know, recreationally legal in Arizona, so some laws around that will be changing. But three, recreational use of marijuana does not absolve you from a employer who requires you to be drug free. So if they require a pre-employment drug screen that includes marijuana to be negative for employment, the law does not protect that it's recreational legal does not protect you from that. You have to, it's their private decision. So my concern is more what Jack said, is that, you know, he basically had a disciplinary action that he didn't report to us. And so I would want to make sure that in the future, if there's a disciplinary action, whether it's involving a drug or involving anything, you know, that he would have an employment termination, that he would report that action to our board, so that we can look at whatever the laws are at the time and decide whether or not it rises to anything. He has a duty to report.
Okay.
Okay. So does anybody have a motion?
So I'd make a motion for a non-disciplinary letter of concern for failing to report a disciplinary action to this board.
Okay.
And I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion on that? Hey, Jack, a roll call vote, please.
Dr. Easley?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Crawford?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Chairman Kagan?
Aye.
Motion passed for a letter of concern. Thank you.
Okay, that appears to be the conclusion of the cases, so we will move to discussion and action on the Executive Director's report.
In the interest of time, I'm going to cover this pretty quickly unless there's any particular questions or comments. Vice Chair Crawford, I did include the survey results, so hopefully you had a chance to review those. We had one person that was unhappy about obtaining a copy of their wallet card over the last couple months. That was the only poor response that we got out of 28 total surveys.
That they wanted a wallet card?
They wanted a wallet card, or we didn't get it to them.
Okay.
Quick enough, or they couldn't find the email. I don't know exactly. I had it on my list to contact licensing, but I haven't done that yet.
Do we still provide wallet cards?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, my board doesn't. It's all online, so.
Yeah. I actually remember when they changed that. So we after somebody renews or obtains an initial license, two things happen. They get a wall certificate, which is signed by the chairman and the executive director, and signed by the chairman in very interesting fuchsia and pink and everything else.
I have a different color for today.
Okay, good. They also receive a wallet card that's sent to them by email immediately after the renewal or when that license is issued. So they have two forms of credential verification. We're doing okay on budget. We're going to be close to our appropriation again this year. I do want to let the board know that there's been significant changes at Central Services Bureau, who does our deposits and processes, our bills, that sort of thing. They are not processing things in a timely manner. I've had to report that to GAO, which is the Arizona Government Office of Accounting. We're supposed to be depositing our money within a certain time frame. We're supposed to be processing bills within certain time frames, and we've busted those time frames over the last 6 months because of change in staff over patient. It's interesting because GAO is part of the Arizona Department of Administration who does the audits for this stuff. So it's kind of like the fox looking at the hen house. I don't know if there's going to be any findings for that, but it could come up in the future. And I want to let you, I'm just letting you know that it could be an issue under audit or with the Auditor General or with the legislature, the governor's office. It's not just us. It's all of the administrative boards that use Central Services Bureau as their accounting. And I've had to document it in CYA, so I'm just giving you a heads up. It's not working the way it's supposed to. We've had two. There, so 90% of our revenue is from credit card transactions for licenses and renewals. That comes in through Bank of America, and then it's supposed to be posted to our account within a certain time frame. We had two occasions, one in December and now one this month, where they've held revenue for 3 months. In the amount of like $70,000 to $80,000 two times, and they have not resolved that. And unfortunately, I was one of the few ones that brought it up to them, and they didn't really even know it was sitting out there and wasn't getting credited to our account. So I've unfortunately I've pissed off a couple people over at DOA, asking them to get this stuff deposited to us a little quicker. So I'm kind of following my sword, giving you a heads up. Hopefully we won't see it in the future, but we might.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see what else we have.
Is it in the budget to get any new equipment or anything this year, Dick?
We've scraped and we got new board laptops, if you remember. And we got if we're going back to in-person meetings, we can use those laptops. We bought laptops for Kathy, Rachel, and Adrena, so that they were able to work at home with docking mm-hmm. stations, so they can carry the laptops back and forth. I ordered one, but unfortunately, I don't think I need one, I guess. So that order is still pending. It's about a month and a half out. So we've done a little.
What?
Exactly. We've done a little refresh on computers and software, Joe. And the main reason for that is we had to, because Microsoft and everybody else is patching their software. And
yeah.
That we had couldn't handle the new software and the updates.
Sure.
So we've done some refresh with that stuff.
Okay. Just wondering, Jack. No biggie.
Yeah,
that Microsoft update shut me down in the middle of a go-to meeting, so.
Oh, yeah, and we get a score from Asset. So they constantly monitor our network traffic and the software we have. And our, I can't remember the name of it, but our score is supposed to, for our computer and our software is supposed to be above 750. We dropped to like 685, and then they said, okay, Jack, you need to buy this, buy that to get your score up. So we're going through that transition right now. Let's see, I don't have anything else for budget. What am I forgetting?
Compact licensure.
Oh, thank you. So a lot of the other health-related boards, nursing, I'm not sure if Osteo is doing it, but yeah, Osteo does it in some respects. We got a survey from the ERC, and I didn't want to answer that because I don't know what the board's strategic direction is with licensing compacts with other states. We don't have to vote on it today, but we need to think about it. Licensing compacts is basically, if you have a license in Arizona, we enter into a contract with, for example, California, Florida, Texas, Ohio, that has equivalent licensing requirements. And we basically say, okay, Ohio licensee, if you want to work in Arizona and you have an active Ohio license, you can just come here and work. You don't have to apply. We don't have to review your background because we know that Ohio does everything the way we do it and requires all the same things to become licensed. NBRC is reaching out, wanting us to tell them whether or not we are interested in exploring licensing compacts with other states. There's other industries that are doing it based upon federal grants, but I don't know if the board has any strategic direction that they want to give to staff or how I should answer this survey that we got from NBRC.
I'm interested in learning more about and gaining more knowledge or information about compact licensure with other states. I don't know that I'm in a position ready to make a decision or vote on that.
I agree with that.
So, it's a big leap in faith. It's both ways. So if an Arizona RT wants to go work in California, and California is part of the licensing compact, you just go from Parker, Arizona, over to St. George, and you work across that state line with your Arizona license. The regulatory portion of it for investigations pretty much stays the same. So so if you want to find out more information about it, I can respond to the survey and say exactly that. We're interested in it, but we're only interested with states that require the RRT credential.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and my other concern would be, okay, so if we don't have to license them, so say they're here working in our state and they have an offense, does it go back to then, say, Ohio, their board, to investigate an issue that occurred in our state?
Dr. Easley, that's a very good question, and I do not know the answer to that. I've never worked at a board that had a compact in place.
Right, and vice versa. If we have an Arizona licensed therapist working in another state who does something egregious, who's responsible for follow-up?
Yes, I think we would. I agree. I'm interested in learning more about it, but those are all like questions that we need answered before we decide whether or not we're going to participate in that. Yeah.
I personally am a fan of compact licensure, but from a regulatory standpoint, I agree with all those concerns that Dr. Easley just stated.
Yeah.
Very good. I can follow up and hopefully bring you back a little more as the information develops. So I'll move in that direction if that's what you look for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, there's nothing else burning that I need to address in the executive record report unless there's any questions.
Okay.
I'll just say since Alaska doesn't require licenses, we won't be entering into any kind of agreement with them, right? Because that does not sound appealing.
I would be on board with that statement.
Okay.
Agreed.
I'm like, what?
Okay.
All right. Well, unless I'm missing something, there does not appear to be anything else on the agenda. Jack, anything else I need to cover before I adjourn it?
No, I just another quick 5-year rule review. We're required to do a 5-year rule review every 5 years, and ours is coming up here. It's supposed to be this month. I've asked for an extension, give staff a little more time because it's quite exhaustive what you have to prepare and submit to the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. You will see more in that probably in April.
Okay.
I don't have anything else for the good of the order. I appreciate everybody's time today. I thought it went really well. It's one of the best online ones we've had. So thank you.
Yes, well, then on that note, at 10:44, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.